everybody. Bill Buckmaster, along with my friend John Couch, John engineering and producing our show on the other side of the glass. Together, we welcome you to the Buckmaster Show. It feels like a Monday because we had a long weekend, highly unusual in the broadcast business, but certainly we'll take it. Three-day weekend honoring President's Day. Today is Tuesday, February the 18th, 2020. We're broadcasting from the Green Things Zocalo Village Studio on 1030 Tucson's Voice for Trusted News Talk. We have our worldwide live listening on my website, buckmastershow.com, also the place for all of our podcasts, and they're available for you anytime. The live line number 790-2040. Let's go now on the live line to the mayor of the town of Marana, Mayor Ed Honey. Mayor, how are you?
I am doing very well, Bill. I hope you're doing the same.
Doing well, thank you, sir. The town of Marana, one step closer to installing an air traffic control tower at the Marana Regional Airport after the Federal Aviation Administration did accept the town into the Federal Control Tower Program recently. There's some confusion, Mayor. We're not talking about the Pinal Air Park, are we here?
No, we're talking about the town of Marana's airport on Havre Valley Road.
And what can you tell us about this? Is this a big deal?
Oh, it's a really big deal. We were in the program, Bill, back 2006, 7, 8. We had been accepted into the program. They had already come out and chosen a spot for the tower on our airport. And then the economy tanked. And the feds and the state and everybody else just quit doing anything, or we'd already have a tower. So we applied again as the economy's gotten better and stuff to get back into that platform. And really, it's pretty much doing the paperwork and following, you know, having working with the feds, the FAA, to get it done. So we're very, very pleased.
What kind of aircraft can you accept now at the airport?
Well, you can land all kinds of stuff. We can land actually up to a 737, I think, safely. Hmm. We've had a couple 747s land at our airport, the town's airport, thinking they were at Pinal Airport. Well, they're only about 5 miles apart, air to air.
Right.
And on this pretty much the same line. And if you're flying into an airport with no tower.
Right.
And it says, well, you're getting pretty, you know, 5 miles is not very far when you're flying a jet at, you know, several hundred miles an hour. And we've had that happen a couple of times. It's really... we're excited about that. We get a tremendous amount of touches at our airport. We have a lot of commercial jets that come in. When Oprah and the Shahs and all these people come in, a lot of the billionaires go to Mirabel every year, you know, and kind of decide what charitable organizations they're going to support. Mm. They always land their planes in Marana.
Wow.
A lot of this is these are very high-profile individuals, and they don't want a whole bunch of people around there bothering them. So they'll actually, unannounced, will just fly into Marana. We've had as many, I think we had 28 big jets in there at one time. Bill Gates was there, Warren Buffett, like I said, Oprah, some of the Saudis and different ones that, you know, kind of worldwide charitable organizations or individuals. And it's pretty interesting, but they don't want us to say a whole lot. The whole idea of coming to Marana is to avoid a lot of that crowd. And so we honor their wishes. So.
Well, the tower will certainly make it I would assume your air safety is going to be better than, especially when Pinal Air Park will benefit as well, won't it?
Well, I think the tower can actually work on both.
Right.
you know, they're close enough together and everything's done with GPS and computers and stuff anyway. You don't necessarily, I had heard some rumors that it might kind of help serve both airfields.
Where is your airport located specifically? Could you tell our listeners?
It is pretty much at Sanders and Aber Valley Road.
Okay.
South of the river.
And it's been it's been there, I guess, since World War II. It was a training facility.
Yes, it was a World War II training base. And then it was out of commission for years and years. And then Pima County took it over and ran it for many years. And the Abrams, Bud Abrams, I don't know if you remember him. Bud
mm-hmm.
has passed.
I do, yeah.
His son Gary is kind of runs the airfield now. I mean, he leases it from us.
Mm-hmm.
And we have two or three personnel out there as well. We took it over from the county about 20 years ago.
Hmm.
You know, I mean, it's a lot of smaller airfields don't necessarily make you any money directly. Indirectly, they may.
All right.
When we had the golf tournament here, Tiger Woods and Phil Mickelson landed their jets there.
Mm-hmm.
Because they didn't want to go to TIA.
Yeah. Well, Mayor Honey, give us a quick overview. What's going on in Marana? I know you've got more housing that's been approved. Give me a few of the bullet points here, would you?
Housing is phenomenal. We're averaging about 800 a year, both fiscal and calendar year. Business is moving here. PCV from Tucson Manufacturing off of Grant and I can't remember the cross street. They're moving to our tech park at Tangerine and I-10. And they have about 165 employees, but they want to go to 300, and they needed room to expand. So they're there. A lot of new restaurants on the north end, a new Bisbee Breakfast Club at Sundari on the freeway, new Jack in the Box, different stores coming out here. We have been doing pretty well. We've really had a couple pretty good years.
Has there been any talk about upgrading the state highway, Oracle? I was at an event up at the Bon Voyage Travel Show. I was taking part in that on Sunday up at the El Conquistador. The road is, that Oracle Road is horrible from Tucson up there. And why is the road so bad? Because it's the state highway?
Absolutely. It is. It's State Route 77, Oracle Road is. And millions of dollars to bring their roads up to par.
Mm.
But that's part of the reason. There's just not a whole lot of revenues there.
How much of Oracle goes through Marana?
None of Oracle.
None of Oracle. No. So that's all the Oral
Valley. Oral Valley, Oracle would go through Oral Valley.
Well, you're lucky it doesn't, I guess, with the road in that bad a condition. Mayor, we only got a minute or so left. So, tourism-wise, how are your hotels doing?
Our hotels are doing phenomenal, and the new Hampton Inn that HSL Properties built a couple years ago there at the Marana Center Tucson Premium Outlets. I talked to their manager, and a lot of times on basketball weekends or different things, band weekends and stuff at the U of A, they're just selling out.
Mm.
They are really doing well. So the hotel, we have, I think, 15 hotel motels in Marana, and they're all doing just phenomenally well.
You probably got some spillover from the Gem Show, too.
Oh, we always do. I mean, when you have five hotels on Cortero and five on Ina,
mm-hmm.
you know, within a couple blocks of the freeway, they pretty much are booked up weeks in advance for the Gem Show. Gem Show is a blessing to our whole community, but it's a true blessing to Marana as well.
All right, Mayor, before we let you go, when will the tower, when do they think they'll start working on it?
It's probably going to be a year or so. Okay. You know, these things, you have to do the plans, and the state has to approve it, and the feds have to approve it, and we have to approve it, and you know how government works, Bill.
All right.
But the thing is, it's coming.
All right. So you've had the cold and that everyone has had, it sounds like.
We're all passing it around. I just talked to my son in California, and he was sick, and one of my grandsons came home from school sick. So it's not just here, even.
Yep. I like to say that someone has either had it or they're going to get it.
Or you're going to get it.
Thank you, Mayor. Always a pleasure. Thank you, sir.
Thank you, Bill. Have a wonderful day.
Thanks a lot. The mayor of Marana, that's Ed Honey. I want to tell our listeners about my favorite bakery in town, Mona's Danish Bakery. They had a wonderful Valentine's Day weekend. Did very well. Beautiful pastries with that love theme. Mona's Danish Bakery, home of the Danish Kringle, located at the northeast corner of Swan and Sunrise. What a beautiful place that they've made that into just such a nice spot to have breakfast, open now for lunch, and of course you could still do breakfast. Mona'sDanishBakery.com is their website. There's also a link at BuckmasterShow.com. Check it out. Stop by. Enjoy their wonderful pastries, the great breakfast, and some beautiful luncheon items are awaiting you at Mona's. Shelley Fishman is coming up next on the Buckmaster Show, and Shelley's with me already in studio, and he just gave me a thumbs down. How bad is the market? Well, not that great today. Let's put it that way. Be right back with Shelley.
Biosphere 2's new ocean tour takes you behind the scenes of the largest experimental ocean in the world, researching solutions for the global coral reef crisis. Other exciting tours include The Amazing 30-Year History, a family tour for families with kids 10 and under, and the inspiring Under the Glass Tour, one of the 50 must-see wonders of the world. Visit UA Biosphere 2 today. Explore the future. Online giving for coral reef research and information about tours and more at biosphere2.org.
Family-owned Jam Culinary Concepts and its family of restaurants has you covered for your special event. Jam caters anytime, anywhere, any size group, and any type of cuisine. Vero Amore, authentic Neapolitan pizza, and Noble Hops, craft beer, and fine fare are synonymous with quality. Call 954-1468 or log on to jamculinaryconcepts.com. This is Bill Buckmaster encouraging you to fly from Tucson International Airport. When you fly Tucson, you're standing up for Tucson. A new study shows the Tucson Airport Authority's annual economic impact is $7.4 billion, with almost $1 billion of that from visitors flying into the airport. Fly Tucson, and airlines will respond with more flights, bringing more visitors, benefiting all of us. Type in TUS when you book your next flight and fly Tucson.
The Regional Transportation Authority and its member jurisdictions have completed more than 850 transportation projects or service improvements across the region to date. The RTA is a state-established political subdivision and taxing district. The RTA's current half-cent sales tax funds the 20-year plan through June 2026. And the RTA is laying the foundation to develop a new plan. To learn more, please visit www.rtanext.com.
The average person in the USA today takes over 12 prescription medicines each year, and if you are over age 65, it is more than 17 medicines. CredibleMeds.org is a nonprofit organization dedicated to helping inform you and your healthcare providers. Over 30,000 people die each year from reactions to their medicines. Don't be one of those numbers. Be informed and stay safe. Visit CredibleMeds.org today and take control of your healthcare by taking your medicines safely.
Cushman & Wakefield Picor is Tucson's leading independently owned full-service commercial real estate company. Founded in 1985, Cushman & Wakefield Picor offers leasing, sales, and property management for industrial, office, medical, retail, land, and investment properties in Tucson and Sonora, Mexico. Visit our website at picor.com for the latest news from Tucson's commercial real estate sector. That's picor.com. Call us at 748-7100. As a small business owner, I appreciate the services of a top-notch certified public accountant. That's why Michael C. Flowers of Flowers, Rieger & Associates is the CPA firm of the Buckmaster Show. Michael's a former Small Business Leader of the Year in Tucson. He'll professionally handle all of your accounting needs and tax preparation services. Flowers, Rieger & Associates, 6125 East Grant Road, and on the web, flowersrieger.com. The following segment of the Buckmaster Show, presented by our friends in Silver City in Grant County, New Mexico, just a three-hour drive or so from the Tucson area to a beautiful area of the Land of Enchantment, that southwest corner of the state of New Mexico. Visit southwestnewmexico.org. To begin your travel plans over to Silver City, there you'll find on the website some great places to stay and all sorts of ideas about recreational opportunities, including doing some hiking in the Gila National Wilderness or visiting the world-famous Cliff Dwellings National Monument. Again, southwestnewmexico.org.
Shelley Fishman is a financial consultant in private practice in Tucson, Arizona. The views expressed during this segment are his own and don't necessarily represent those of this station or of Bill Buckmaster Communications. Contact Shelley through buckmastershow.com or at shelleyfishman.com.
And we're always interested to hear the views of Shelley Fishman. Hey, Shelley, how was your weekend?
Well, the weekend was very romantic.
Oh, yeah.
It was a really great weekend.
Valentine's Day weekend a good President's Day, and now you're into the week, and the market is, it's Tuesday.
It's Tuesday, down about 225 points.
It's orderly, though.
It's orderly.
The retreat
no
is
need
orderly.
For panic. I mean, the market's up over 29,000.
Yeah.
I mean, we almost got all the way to 30,000. I wouldn't worry about stockholders at this point. I would expect to see a correction or two this year, just because we're due for a couple of corrections. That said, so long as the markets react in an orderly fashion, there's really nothing to worry about. Corporate profits, for the most part, are on target. We're seeing some weakness right now, largely because of supply channels and what's going on with the virus.
You said last week, last Tuesday on the program, that you had not seen any numbers for the fourth quarter 2019, the gross national product numbers.
Yeah, we're beginning to see some estimates now. We don't have an official number yet, but those people who do those estimates based upon, you know, the various surveys that they do are thinking that the fourth quarter is coming in at around 2.1%. If that's the case, then my fears of a mild recession this year are probably not well-founded. I believe that if that number actually comes in at a 1.5 or less, then that's a different story. What you very often see, however, with projections is that you'll see a disclaimer in the projection saying, we really don't know what the effect of, say, the Boeing problem, the 737 problem, is, and we really don't know yet the effect of the coronavirus on supply lines. And so we're forecasting as if those two things have not occurred. So, you know, let's see what the official number is before I get too overly concerned. Again, I believe and still believe that there's a likelihood that there'll be a recession in 2020, but it'll be mild. And, you know, we're not going to see the kind of crash that we saw in 2008 or even what we experienced in 2003.
China's trying to rev up some of the factories that were shut down for several weeks. They're trying to reopen, but Apple today said that there's definitely a supply chain link problem.
That's right. And Apple did forecast that their sales would not meet their forecasts for the first quarter. Clearly, when the world is so interdependent on moving assemblies and sub-assemblies in and out of various countries and getting raw materials from other countries, etc., when something like this happens, it does have an effect on commerce in general. What we don't know is how to quantify that effect yet. And to make matters worse, the Chinese economy is very opaque. We don't really believe all that the Chinese tell us about what their economy is doing. They had originally forecast about a 6% year. And now we're seeing estimates that that could be down as low as 4% or maybe even less. To the extent that that's true, you know, that'd be a 25% reduction in what they were expecting. And that's not minimal. It's something that needs to, you know, be of concern to not just the Chinese, but to everybody who depends not only for supply from China, but also who sells into China, because when you get that kind of slowdown in GDP, then the Chinese as a market is
yeah, it's
be
a two-way street. The avenue goes both ways. You know, you see these quality of living surveys in Scandinavia always ranks. They've usually got two or three of the Scandinavian countries in the top 10 of places that people are very happy and like their quality of living. David Brooks, writing in the New York Times just a couple of days ago, talked about what is it about Scandinavia that is so great?
Well, we need to remind our listeners who David Brooks is. David Brooks is a longtime opinion writer for the New York Times. He's also appeared on television. In fact, there used to be a David Brooks
segment on the News Hour with Jim Lehrer.
Exactly.
Yeah,
that, right.
I used to enjoy those very
and
much.
And he's on the right side of center.
Yes.
David Brooks was always a Republican, a conservative Republican. But in the past couple of years, he's tried to make himself kind of into the senior philosopher, if you will, pronouncing on his opinions and others about where societies are going. And some of the stuff he writes is awfully interesting.
Mm-hmm.
What this article was, and I would recommend it, not because I necessarily agree with it or necessarily think that it's immediately applicable to our country, but it's remarkable in that he takes an area of the world, Scandinavia, that was really dirt poor until around 1870, and wonders how that area, even before democratic socialism or social mm-hmm. democracy mm-hmm. and all of the high taxes and the socialistic economic policies,
cradle to grave
yeah,
benefits,
the universal health care and universal jobs, mm-hmm. and in some cases even free tuition, certainly all through college and graduate school,
maternity leaves,
yes,
that can go
that
up to a year,
right? So the Scandinavians seem happy to pay for those benefits in return for not having the uncertainty of how they would have to, as individuals,
yes,
pay for those benefits. Mm-hmm. And that happiness comes out in these surveys. What is interesting about David Brooks's article, and he's really quoting some stuff that he's recently been reading, is that this started in Scandinavia when the Scandinavians realized that they had to make efforts to educate their youth and make that education something that lasted all through adulthood.
Mm-hmm.
And that education was not only to educate people in a career path or the skills that they would need to work for the rest of their lives, but more than that, to educate them in what it meant to be in society, and how that role in society and for them as individuals would also change over time as they grow older and, you know, move from being students to being, you know, young employees, and then, you know, getting married, having kids, and going through the different phases in their lives, that understanding how they fit in to a society and how a society fit in with them was critical to building coherence and building unity in those societies. And according to Brooks in this article, he says that has really worked for them, because the Scandinavians as a whole have this coherent view of what their societies are like and what their societies should be like. And that results in a contentedness, a level of happiness that gets measurably, you know, reported in these surveys.
Well, it takes a tremendous amount of uncertainty out of one's life.
Exactly. Now, when I first read this, you know, as a good individualistic American, I kind of bristled. I mean, you know, don't tell me what my role in society is, and don't tell me what society's role. You know, I'm an independent American, and I stand on my own, and, and you know, I pull myself up with my, you know, my own bootstraps and all of that. And then I started thinking about it and said, wait a second. When I was in school, it was, there was a lot more of that done than there is today. Today, through political correctness and just the way our society is kind of fragmented, I think schools are afraid to do that kind of thing. So this is an important point to make. Not sure how much of it applies to this country, but very interestingly, it has had good results in Scandinavia. And, you know, when a country or an area of the world has good results, it's always worth taking a look and asking the question why.
And that's kind of the model Bernie talks about. Bernie Sanders talks a little bit about.
Well, certainly on an,
economic point of view.
Don't get me started on Bernie Sanders.
I know. All right, Shelley Fishman, hope you the rest of the week goes well. Thanks, Shel.
Thanks, Bill. Bye-bye.
Okay.
CBS News Special Report, President Trump has granted clemency for two high-profile criminals and pardoned a third. Clemency to former Illinois Governor Rod Blagojevich, serving 14 years for political corruption.
So he'll be able to go back home with his family after serving 8 years in jail. That was a tremendously powerful, ridiculous sentence, in my opinion.
Political analyst Larry Sabato.
His wife has been really campaigning for some time to get a commutation from Trump. And Trump was listening, and Trump had said favorable things and thought that Blagojevich had been sent down the river too quickly and easily with too harsh a sentence.
Also, clemency to financier Michael Milken, who pleaded guilty to violating federal securities laws. Former NYPD Commissioner Bernard Kerik received a presidential pardon.
I just pardoned Bernie Kerik, a man who had many recommendations from a lot of good people.
CBS News Special Report, I'm Gary Nahn.
This is Moa Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing.
And this is Bill Buckmaster. For several decades now, Moe has been my go-to expert for all my framing needs and bathroom mirrors. I trust Moe for service, professionalism, and top-of-the-line quality.
Thanks, Bill. Give us a call at 795-8226 and stop by Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing on the southwest corner of Fort Lowell and Dodge, right next to Copenhagen, and on the web at moesgallery.com.
Noble Hops is Tucson's original gastro pub, serving an impressive menu of craft beer and fine fare. Choose from more than 175 beers from around the world, plus wine and a full bar. Enjoy delicious soup, salads, burgers, sandwiches, hearty entrees, and more. Craft beer, fine fare, great service, and stunning views. Noble Hops, perfect for lunch, dinner, happy hour, late night, and any time in between. Open daily at La Cañada and Lambert Lane in Oro Valley.
Biosphere 2's new ocean tour takes you behind the scenes of the largest experimental ocean in the world, researching solutions for the global coral reef crisis. Other exciting tours include the amazing 30-year history, a family tour for families with kids 10 and under, and the inspiring Under the Glass tour, one of the 50 must-see wonders of the world. Visit UA Biosphere 2 today. Explore the future. Online giving for coral reef research and information about tours and more at biosphere2.org.
Vets working hard to save wildlife covered in cactus spines. A skunk left for dead, miraculously saved by a caring citizen. Those are just a couple of the headlines from the nonprofit Tucson Animal Rescue Center, where thousands of animals are cared for each year at its state-of-the-art Far East Side Tucson facility. Rescue, rehab, and release. The Tucson Wildlife Center, saving wildlife for more than two decades. Donate online at TucsonWildlife.com or call 290-WILD.
Are you happy with the news you get? While not all news is good news, you know good reporting when you see it. Check TucsonSentinel.com every day for breaking news and investigative reports. Have your say in the comments. It's all in TucsonSentinel.com, your local, independent, nonprofit news. You can rely on TucsonSentinel.com for solid reporting about immigration, Tucson and Pima politics, everything from the border to baseball. It's independent news without the spin. TucsonSentinel.com. We are watching Tucson.
Hey, it's Ryan Hansen from Bon Voyage Travel.
And this is Matt Russell from the Buckmaster Show.
Matt, did you hear that Travel and Leisure magazine just ranked the Douro Valley as a top 50 spot for world travel?
Yes, so how about Portugal and Spain for my next culinary and cocktail cruise?
Let's do it on the Douro River aboard the new Ama Douro ship from Ama Waterways.
I'll need a chef's table dinner, winery tours, and other private excursions.
Matt, consider it done.
Thanks, Ryan. Portugal and Spain, here we come. Go to bvtravel.com to learn more.
Let's say you need an honest roofer. Where do you start? Better Business Bureau of Southern Arizona has more than 3,200 accredited businesses ready to help and committed to doing things right. Next time you need a trusted mechanic, plumber, AC company, or florist, go to our website, bbb.org, or call us at 520-888-6161. Better Business Bureau of Southern Arizona. We are here to help you find local companies you can trust.
Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show. I am Bill Buckmaster in the Green Things Zocalo Village Studios, an extraordinary collection of Talavera pottery, antiques, fine art, beautiful handmade furniture, lighting, home accessories, and gifts, all part of Zocalo. And then don't forget, 13 acres of amazing plants, trees, annuals, and more. Open daily, Green Things, 50 years and still growing. GreenThingsAZ.com and ZocaloVillage.com. Green Things located at 3384 East River Road by the Rito River, just west of the Brandy Fenton Park. A really beautiful destination in itself. Wow, these numbers on the religious landscape of the United States, pretty dramatic. Pew Research Center saying that according to their survey conducted in 2018 and 2019, get this, 65% of American adults now describe themselves as Christians when asked about their religion. That's down 12% just in one decade. Meanwhile, the religiously unaffiliated share of the population, consisting of people who describe their religious identity as atheist, agnostic, or nothing in particular, now stands at 26%. That's up from 17% in 2009. Let's get the views now on all of this from Father Mark Schultz. Father Mark is at St. Philip's in the Hills Episcopal Church. He joins us now on the live line. Father Mark, how are you?
Well, thank you, Bill. It's good to be with you again.
Always a pleasure, sir. What's your take on this update we're getting on America's changing religious landscape?
Oh, golly. Well, there's a lot, I think, that goes into it. I think some of it has to do with people really craving real community. And for a while, I don't know that the church has necessarily been supporting that. I think there's been a lot of trends in the church for many, 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 many years that have led to where we are. And it's not just in the church, it's also the church within our larger culture. I think we've gotten to a place where there have been sort of movements within the larger culture that the church has then sort of become a part of one way or another. And I don't know that it's been good for anybody involved. And what I'm thinking of is, you might think that I'm thinking of some huge political issues or social issues. I'm thinking really of a desire or a thinking about religion and about the church, that it's about self-improvement, mm-hmm. that it makes me be a better person or become a better person. And the difficulty there is that that sort of makes religion into what some scholars have called moral therapeutic deism, right? So our notion of God changes. The idea is that God is there sort of to help me self-actualize, that God is there to help me be the better person that I really would like to be, that God is there to sort of be a kind of magical sky genie to give me whatever I like, and that's what prayer is about. But kind, really,
almost like God is part of a self-help movement, Father Mark.
Exactly. And here's the thing: is that what's been lost in all of that is that our goodness, or whatever good we can seek, is actually not bound up in ourselves. It's actually bound up in the good of others. Our goodness is bound up in community. And who we are is bound up in community. This is why so often that Jesus asks us to lose ourselves in order to find ourselves. The self that God wants to give us is actually God's own self. It's really an inversion of what we might think of as what religion is supposed to do for us. We might think, you know, I want to be a more righteous person. Well, righteousness doesn't exist for our own sake. We're not righteous for our own sake. We're righteous so that God can give us grace in order to do righteousness in the world. This is what the prophet Micah says, right? This is the whole point of this is to do justice, to love mercy, and to walk humbly with God. And our contemporary culture is not really on board with that mission.
That's for sure. Father Mark Schultz with us on the Live Line from St. Philip's in the Hills Episcopal Church. You know, when you see these numbers and 17% of Americans describing themselves, Father Mark, as having no real religion, as they say, nothing in particular, it doesn't really tell us whether these people would consider themselves spiritual people, does it?
No. It doesn't, and we could say a lot about the spiritual but not religious thing and aspect of things, but I imagine a lot of people have stayed away from the church or are not going into the church in part because, well, a couple reasons. The church isn't asking anything of them. The church is sort of has gotten so obsessed with decline, particularly in recent decades, that it has mistaken what it means to meet people where they are with not giving them any challenge, with not challenging them to love deeper. So there's nothing there that the church is asking them for. The church is just sort of desperate to have them, and numbers become a thing. There's also a sense, I think, from certain younger generations, that the church has been so bound up in civil religion, or the civil in power, structures of power, that it doesn't really have anything to say to them anymore about transformation. And I think that's because so often the church does involve itself with power and doesn't preach the gospel of transformation, which is a radical transformation. Now, that doesn't mean that the church has nothing to say to the culture and has no place in the culture, but it does mean that the church is called to stand apart. Not to be part of the power structures, but to bless what is blessable, right? Mm-hmm. And to critique what needs to be changed. And then to say, here is a community, here are lives that are being transformed. And this transformation can also be part of the world, the whole world can be transformed.
You work so much at St. Philip's with families and young people, especially with the young people. Is there a yearning in this world of social media? Is there a yearning, Father Mark, for something very authentic that religion, so to speak, brings to the table?
Oh, I think there is. I very much think there is. I think that there is a sense that virtuality can only get you so far, right? Mm-hmm. Virtuality, and in some ways, the things that are going on online and in various forms of social media are very important, particularly to people who wouldn't necessarily be able to ask those questions in any other way or to find community in any other way. But I think there's also a realization that that can't be the end of it. There has to be something else, and there has to be a community, an actual physical community, we're called, right, to be the hands and feet of Christ in the world. And those are wounded hands and feet. And so we're called into a very particular relationship with woundedness, with people's yearning for connection, that goes back to our call to identify, for the church to identify, the church writ large to identify with the wounded body of Jesus. And so in some ways, these numbers that of decline, there's an aspect you could look at those numbers and say, well, this is actually a call for the church to re-engage with this identity as being the wounded body, because the woundedness is being made clear by these numbers in many ways.
All right.
And what the church has not been doing has been made clear. So we need to re-engage with what it means to be the wounded body of Christ in the world.
Excellent thoughts, Father Mark Schultz. Father Schultz, thank you very much for being with us.
Thank you, Bill. It's always a pleasure.
Thank you. Father Mark Schultz is at St. Philip's in the Hills Episcopal Church in the Tucson foothills. Buckmaster Show continuing in the Green Thing Zocalo Village studio. So many amazing things going on at Biosphere 2. We'll get an update on that right after we take a break.
Green Things is a family-owned and operated plant nursery serving Tucson since 1970. Open daily at 3384 East River Road, Green Things is chock full of plants and pottery from around the world. Green Things is also now home to Zocalo, featuring fine Mexican and South American imports spread over five buildings on the 13-acre Green Things property. For more, visit greenthingsaz.com and zocalovillage.com.
Buckmaster Show listeners know about my love of travel and flying from Tucson International Airport. I know you value your time and money, so it makes sense to fly Tucson with nearly 60 daily nonstop flights to major hub airports. If you're flying to another airport to take a nonstop flight, you're still making a connection and spending 4 hours on the road traveling to that other airport. That's why I fly Tucson and encourage you to do the same. Vero Amore is Tucson's only certified authentic Neapolitan wood-fired pizza, where every flavorful pizza, pasta, panini, and salad is homemade using the finest local and imported ingredients. Vero Amore, Plaza Palomino and on Dove Mountain Boulevard in Marana, plus a full catering menu and mobile pizza truck for parties and events. Vero Amore on the web at veroamore.com.
The current Regional Transportation Authority plan is funded by a half-cent sales tax, which expires in June 2026. In preparation for developing a new 20-year plan, the RTA Board established a Citizens Advisory Committee to identify priority projects based on public input. RTA member jurisdictions will submit their respective project lists by June 2020 for the CAC to consider for a future plan. To learn more, visit www.rtanext.com.
The Friends of Pima Animal Care Center is the nonprofit partner to our Pima County Animal Shelter. We grant critically needed resources to PACC so that it can continue the amazing life-saving progress it has made in recent years. Your generosity helps us find homes for abused, neglected, and abandoned animals at PAC. Learn how you can help at friendsofpacc.org.
The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun cover two of Arizona's most desirable communities. The newspapers reach more than 75% of the communities each week, with a combined population of more than 50,000. The Green Valley News also publishes a dozen magazines each year, and both newspapers publish up-to-the-minute local news online at gvnews.com. The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun, it's all right here.
Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show in the Green Things Zocalo Village studio. We are so blessed to have less than an hour from the Tucson metropolitan area, one of the world's most unique facilities dedicated to research and understanding of global scientific issues. Talking about Biosphere 2 and that facility that serves as a laboratory for controlled scientific studies, an arena for scientific discovery and discussion, and a far-reaching provider of public education. Over the past couple of decades, John Adams has been helping drive the evolution of Biosphere 2. John is the Deputy Director of Biosphere 2, the University of Arizona's program there. And John is with us on the live line. John, how are you, sir?
I am doing well, and thank you very much for having me today.
It's always a pleasure. There's so much going on, and I want to begin with an update, John, from you on a couple of projects we've talked about over the years during our Biosphere 2 series. How about the Rainforest Project?
Well, this was a really exciting project for us because, you know, we think of a rainforest having a lot of rain. Well, we had a research team who said, what happens when it doesn't get any rain? So they subjected it to a four-month drought, or a four-month research project, a two-month drought, and we just concluded that and reopened it up for our visitors to go through. And so our research team gathered all the data that they could from that experiment, and we've got it back open now for visitors to come in and see the rainforest firsthand and hear about some of the preliminary results that we're starting to look at.
Bottom line, give us some of those preliminary results, John Adams.
Well, I think for many of us, we were surprised to see how resilient these systems are. And we were very surprised to learn that, you know, some of those deeper rooting plants seem to have tendencies to actually be able to pull some of that water up to shallower portions, which then can be utilized by these shallower rooted plants. I think we always suspected some of those things, but being able to get some definitive data to support that was really interesting. And again, I think the overall resiliency, because, you know, we wanted to push our rainforest as much as we could, but obviously not to a point that we would kill everything in the system. And I think it went much further. We were able to carry that drought for a longer period of time than we had initially anticipated.
And the recovery period seems to be very encouraging too then, John.
It is. I mean, it's really sort of, I mean, you can see when you gave it the rain, everybody in the system, all the plants and various communities responded very favorably and almost instantaneously. It's you know, they were cheering to get that rain on, as many of our managers as well, because, you know, it was definitely looking stressed.
In my travels around the world, I've been so fortunate to see some of the great coral reefs, including the Great Barrier Reef. These areas are very much in danger, John Adams. What is being done at Biosphere 2 to give us some kind of a knowledge about where and how climate change is going to affect our oceans and coral reefs?
Well, you know, this is really an amazing story. So we think of southern Arizona, landlocked, you know, not a lot of bodies of water for us to look at, and especially ocean bodies of water. But right here inside Biosphere 2, we've got a million-gallon ocean. It's the world's largest research tank. And what I mean by that is, sure, there are aquariums around the world that have much larger tanks, but the type of experiments that we can do in our system are truly unique, and we're willing to do those. And what I mean by that is this ocean system, and we're working with over 50 different partner institutions around the world. These are folks in Hawaii, Florida, Australia, down in Mexico and South America, but they're all seeing significant die-offs of coral. A lot of it is primarily driven by changes in that surface water temperature. It's getting higher. So we hear about bleaching, where you see that really white coral skeleton. And our collaborators think that we are uniquely positioned to bring in corals that show resiliency to deal with changes in temperature and be able to test them in a large tank in more of a community-oriented setting in ways that they can't do. So they can do a lot of things in the lab, but it's at really small scales on, you know, basically pieces of corals, or they go out to the open ocean and they have no control. Well, here inside Biosphere 2, we can have the fish, we can have the urchins and the clams and the oysters and other organisms in conjunction with the corals living, and then we can stress the system to see how well they do. And are there certain varieties or certain breeds that we can see do a better job and then potentially favor them or selectively breed them to hopefully give our reefs an opportunity to survive well into the future? Because we just don't know. And you're right. It doesn't look very good.
And we don't know about the recovery. And that's what we're all hoping for, that we can get some recovery from some of these bleached out coral areas.
Well, no, you're exactly right. And you know, one of our collaborators who unfortunately recently passed, but she was at the University of Hawaii and just a real powerhouse in this field. But she had lost 90% of her specimens in about a three-month period.
Wow.
So the bad news is, yes, she lost 90%, but the good news is there was 10% that survived.
Mm-hmm.
And what they're doing is they're looking at those 10%, and you're right, what gives them unique traits to be able to survive those conditions, and what can we do to help them continue to grow and become the dominant organisms, because they show that resiliency to be able to survive the conditions that we're going to see in 10, 20, or 50 years from now.
Give us an overview of some of the tours that are available now at Biosphere 2, John Adams.
Yeah, I mean, so we have really revamped our tours. We've got some new tours for people. And I mean, if you look outside today, it's just absolutely gorgeous. It is a great time to come up and visit Biosphere 2. So we have the Under the Glass tour that takes you inside Biosphere 2. You can see the rainforest, overlook the ocean, go walk down through the savanna and the desert and go into the technosphere and end up in one of the lungs. The lungs is just a really cool engineering solution that the folks who originally designed Biosphere came up with. If you're interested in a little bit more about the history and sort of what went on when people were living inside, we've got a specific history tour that you can take advantage of. If you want to hear more about the ocean, we actually have what we call an ocean beach tour. We actually take you down onto the beach and give you a more in-depth description of what we're doing in the ocean. For those of you who have little ones and really want something catered towards them, we actually have a family tour, so you can come up and take advantage of that. And we really sort of cater towards that younger audience during that tour. So, you know, we've got a wide range of tours, and you can come up and take one of them, or you can decide that you want to take, you know, all four of them, for example.
Are the tours available daily, John?
They are. So right now we are running tours throughout the day. They run on about every half an hour. We may bump that up a little bit more as we get busier. It's on a first come, first serve, but I encourage folks to come out, you know, get here a little bit earlier. It's just a beautiful site, and take advantage of all that we have to offer as a, you know, a day experience for them.
And will folks learn a little bit of the history, the amazing history of Biosphere 2?
Oh, they absolutely will. We do cover that as part of the Under the Glass tour. But again, those who really want a more in-depth sort of dive into that, go take that history tour. That's really an interesting tour, and you hear a lot about what took place when they were inside, the challenges that they faced, and how they overcome them.
One of the great events is Earth Day, and of course, Biosphere 2 is a kind of an Earth Day magnet when it comes to your festivals that you've been putting on over the years on Earth Day in April. Do you have anything special planned, John Adams, for 2020 Earth Day?
Well, we do. 2020 is special because it's the 50th anniversary of Earth Day. And so we're going to be celebrating on April 18th. This is a Saturday. And so what we've got is we are partnering with Run Tucson. So we're going to start the day off in the morning with a 5K run. And that's actually on the Biosphere 2 property. So this is a really cool run. You can come and walk it, run it. If you've got kids in strollers or others that you want to push along, I think this course would be very conducive to that. And it's just spectacular views because you're in and around Biosphere 2. And I've been here for over 20 years, and I don't remember a run on the property. So this is a first one for me, and I'm really excited that we're partnering with some folks that have been doing runs around Tucson all along. The day we were actually going to get the kids out from SARSEF, their science projects, and those who were able to win their various divisions, we're going to have them out and showcase what's going on. We're going to be running all of these tours in addition to a few extra ones. We're going to hopefully be able to do some ladybug releases with some of our biome managers. They're a great resource to help us control some pest insects, talk about the advantage of those. That's a great thing I think kids are going to like. We've got a few local bands that we're still working through, but we're going to have them on the premise. And it's just going to be a great day to come out, learn more about Biosphere 2, but then also what can we do to help reduce our footprint and continue to have this amazing Earth in the state that it currently is.
And what a beautiful,
or make it better. So.
What a beautiful location, you know, basically about an hour north. You're in a lovely area. How many acres is your footprint up there, John Adams?
Yeah, for those of you who don't know, the University of Arizona owns and operates Biosphere 2, and so our footprint is about 40 acres. But we sit within a larger private holding, and so that is by a group of called CDO Ventures, but they're you know, closely linked with Ed Bass. And Ed Bass, the person who originally built Biosphere 2, the visionary behind this project, you know, is still continue very, very supportive of not only Biosphere 2, but I think, you know, he's made a significant impact here in Southern Arizona.
John, I'm going to have to end it right there, but people can get more information at the website, right? And that is?
www.biosphere2.org.
John, always a pleasure. John Adams, thank you, sir.
Thank you, Bill.
Thanks a lot. John Adams, who is the deputy director at Biosphere 2. So many really cool things going on there with research and all the tours they've got. That's going to do it for the Buckmaster Show Tuesday edition. On behalf of John Couch, my engineer producer, I'm Bill Buckmaster. Have a great afternoon.